In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. She was a victim. She was being manipulated, exploited. One more innocent old lady handing over her cash to con artists dressed in religious drag. Beware the scribes, Jesus warned, who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. And how do they devour widows' houses? Perhaps by coercing widows like the one in our story, those who have lost their husbands, those who no longer have an income, often the poorest of the poor, coercing these into giving more than they should, yes, even all that they have to the temple, a portion of which just happens to end up lining the pockets of the scribes. Do not judge by external appearances. Or you might think that the scribes, the biblical experts, with their fine clothing, their good reputations, their heartfelt prayers, have the blessing and approval of God. No, Jesus says, they will receive the greater judgment. There will be surprises on Judgment Day when all the external appearances are stripped away, when scribes are stripped of their long robes and their naked greed is seen by all, when the veil of false humility is lifted off and the pure attention-loving egotism is revealed. When all the applause of men has died away and condemnation comes from the lips of God, there will be surprises on Judgment Day. Because as Jesus says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops. So beware of the scribes, yes, and especially that scribe that is in you. For God will not judge you based on the appearances that you've carefully constructed, the you that you show the world. In the same way one edits a Facebook account, we edit our whole lives. But God sees right through. He judges the heart. We get a foretaste, a glimpse of Judgment Day, when Jesus sits down opposite the treasury and watches the people putting money into the offering box. He doesn't judge by appearances. He doesn't judge as we do. Otherwise, he would have commended the many rich who put in their large sums. By all appearances, their large offerings seemed quite impressive. And, by all appearances, when that poor widow came and put in her two small coins, she put in almost nothing at all. And her ridiculously small offering seemed anything but impressive. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box." In Greek, the sense is that she put in more than all the others combined. And Jesus tells us why. For they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. The rich, who put in their large sums, what was in their hearts as they gave? In their offering, there was no sacrifice. And so too, in their hearts, there was no faith, no trust in God. They simply gave from their abundance. Their offerings, large though they were merely the leftover scraps of their earnings. And yet, these folks were undoubtedly quite impressed with themselves, and everyone else was too. The poor widow who put in 2 coins, not worth more than a penny, what was in her heart as she gave? Her offering shows total sacrifice, and therefore in her heart, incredible faith and deep trust. She, out of her poverty, has put in all that she had, Jesus says, all that she had to live on. Of course, no one thought anything of her offering. No one, that is, except for God, who sees into the secret place. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes this about giving. I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. If our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements, etc., is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own, we are probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. For many of us, the great obstacle to charity lies not in our luxurious living or desire for more money, but in our fear of insecurity. And this must be recognized as a temptation. So far, Lewis. And he has his finger on the pulse. Fear of insecurity. Fear of not having enough. In other words, lack of faith, lack of trust in God. Too long have we consoled ourselves with the false idea that there's no connection between giving and faith, when in fact there is a connection, a profound connection. So profound that Jesus himself says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. How many surprises there will be on Judgment Day. And I'm not referring now to who's in and who's out. I'm referring to the surprises that there will be amongst the saints. For God does not judge by appearances as we do. And when all hidden things are made known, many who seem to us to be first will be last. And many who we thought were last will be first. Like that destitute widow, victimized by the scribes. She lays down an offering that appears to be absolutely nothing, but in fact is absolutely everything. And here's really the key. In this woman, we glimpse something else, something far deeper and far greater than she. St. Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. The Son of God himself came down from his heavenly throne, emptying himself, becoming destitute and poor. As a widow he came, for his bride lay dead in her trespasses and sins. he too, victimized by the scribes, lays down an offering that appears to be nothing, but in fact is everything. This is the scandal of the cross. Not two coins does he give, but into God's treasury he gives his own body and pours out his own blood. Total sacrifice, perfect faith, perfect trust. And it is this righteousness of his that he freely gives to you. He empties himself on the cross, for your sake becomes poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Well, that's what the scriptures say. But how many of you actually think of yourselves as being rich? Dear Christian, you are rich with gifts that cannot be bought, with gifts infinitely more valuable than all the wealth of this world, the priceless gifts of heaven. You are rich with unimaginable things, rich with God's grace. You are rich with God's mercy. You are rich with God's love. He opens the treasury of his own wisdom to you. The greatest riches have been given to you in complete abundance and overflowing, along with all eternity, a place for you when he makes all things new. The most priceless gifts in heaven, far greater than anything on the earth, have been purchased for you. Not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of your Savior. And our Lord Jesus is a widow no more. For though we were dead in our trespasses, the scriptures say, God, being rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Oh, how foolish we are to judge by appearances, to think that our wealth is reflected by the stuff we own, by the balance in our accounts, by the money in our 401ks. We obsess over what is worthless and all but ignore the unimaginable riches of God. And still, he gives them to us anyway. So too, all too often, we ho-hum our way through church, thinking that perhaps the most Jesus has for us today are two little gifts, not all that different from the widow's coins, a crumb of bread and a sip of wine that together don't even make a penny. How foolish. For under the appearance of that little bread, your Savior places on your tongue his own body. And under the appearance of that little wine, he pours into your lips his own blood. And here he gives you not only the forgiveness of all your sins, not only new life, not only salvation, he gives you the age that is to come, all eternity, in which you will experience the immeasurable riches of your God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.